Many of you are first-time believers in your family. That means you did not come from a Christian home. Raise your hand high. Okay, about 60% of you. Alright, and for those who come from Christian homes, you must pay even more attention. Alright, how many of you were here 15 years ago? 15 years ago, you would have heard this message. Alright, that's why we have to repeat. But it's revised version, alright, updated version. Okay, very important. Why do we do this message, alright? We're in this 40-day season of prayer, and this is a particular milestone in our lives and the milestone of BPTC as a church. Because the Lord says, to whom has been given much, much is required. And so we are stepping up. And as we are stepping up, one of the first things we need to do is to have spiritual hygiene, alright, on a daily, continuous basis. You will get a message as we go along today, this weekend, and the next 2 weekends. And just as in the physical, we need to be clean all the time, alright? I hope you have showered at least in the last 24 hours. Alright, go nearer your neighbor and... you would, alright? So physical hygiene is related to spiritual hygiene. And this is very important. We must deal with these areas of our lives. So, we read the scriptures, 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 7:1. It's very clear, very explicit, to come out, do not touch what is unclean, alright, and to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness. So we're going to watch a video. This video is about physical hygiene, alright. And somebody was just texting me, this physical hygiene is, of course, there is a parallel to our spiritual hygiene. Okay, so what we do in the physical, we must also continuously do in the spiritual. Let's watch this video. Looks like ladies, you are more prone, alright? More vulnerable to bacteria. Alright, but we laugh at this, but this is so true in our lives. We must maintain not only physical hygiene, we must maintain spiritual hygiene. Okay? And so, in chapter 7 of verse 1 of 2 Corinthians, it says, come out from among them, because we live in a world that is fallen. Be separate, like this blue goldfish, separate from the rest of the golden goldfishes. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. What will you do if there are deadly poisonous snakes in your house? There is a tall tembusu tree, alright? Think about 200 feet. It's very near your HDB block, and it's one of the branches grew so near to the block along the corridor, a snake slithered up the trunk, the branch, and landed along the corridor. And next thing you know, the snake found its way into your HDB flat. And finally, it's now resting underneath your bed. What are you going to do about it? Alright, you're going to scream, you're going to shout, you're going to call the pest control, call Pastor Andrew, alright? what should you do about this snake? You're not going to let the snake remain underneath your bed. You want to catch hold of it, kill it, get rid of it, get it out of your house. Okay, you will not tolerate that because danger is all around. You need protection, alright, from the bites of the snake. And similarly, in scriptures, we find that there are prayers for protection. In the Lord's Prayer, which the Lord taught the disciples, Matthew 6:13, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. In the high priestly prayer of John 17, Jesus prayed, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, we are in the world, but you should keep them safe, that you protect them, in other translations, from the evil one. Very clearly, John 10:10, the devil comes to steal, kill and destroy. But Jesus says, in me you will have shalom. In me you will have protection. In me you will have peace. You'll be well if you are with me. We need to know that when we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, when we have this relationship with God, we will rest in Him. We will do not fear. Okay? So the principle is when we know the fear of God, when we know God, when we know the fear of the Lord, we fear no demons, we fear nothing else in our lives. Very important principle. Okay? I'm going to talk about this story of Joshua chapter 7, the story of the battle of Ai, about Achan and the devoted things. There are many, many principles in this chapter, but one of the first principles we need to know as a church is the principle of first fruits. First fruits means that the first 10% of your income belongs to the Lord. Your firstborn belongs to the Lord. Your first salary from your first new job belongs to the Lord. Some of us may not have thought about it that way. The first fruits, the tribe of Levi, they belong to the Lord. God is particular. There is that principle that runs through scriptures. And when God promised Israel the promised land, the entire promised land, the first city to be conquered is Jericho. And Jericho has to be offered up to the Lord. Everything in Jericho is to be destroyed. All the accursed things. Now bear in mind, when God gave Israel the promised land, it was simultaneously God's judgment on the Canaanite gods. We know this from Exodus 12:12. Simultaneously a judgment on Canaan and all the abominations and all the horrible practices. So for example, they will sacrifice infants and throw them into the fire of the idol god Molech. They will have all the different kinds of temple prostitution. Not only men for women, women for men, but male for male, female for female. That was the source and the origin of today's LGBT. All the horrible practices all came from Canaan, where Canaan corrupted itself, all right, to its very core. And therefore, God has to judge Canaan. And at the same time, give Canaan to the people of God. Okay, so that is the background, all right? So let's read together Joshua 7, everybody on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. But louder. Very clear, this few verses here, the Lord's protection is always with us. Alright? But if we transgress and sin against the Lord and against His covenant, we will not be able, verse 12, Israel could not stand before their enemies. Very clear. Because they have become doomed to destruction, neither will I be with you anymore. It means God cannot protect us. God wants to bless us. God wants to protect us. But God needs a legal ground. Why? Because God is not only loving, God has to be just and righteous. If God protects us in spite of our sins, God is unrighteous. God is unjust. We must grasp this principle. God is always simultaneously loving, just and righteous. And the second last line, O Israel, you cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. You must remove the legal ground which the devil has against us. This is a series I'm going to do next year about effective prayer. This is based on Luke 18. The adversary, if he has a legal ground against you, that's why some of our prayers, we've been praying for years and that prayer is not answered. Why? Because the adversary, amongst other reasons, one of the reasons is the adversary has got a legal ground against you in the courts of heaven. Okay, let's continue reading. Verse 15. Then it shall be he who has taken So from this account, you realize that it is a very serious matter. We ask ourselves the question, what is the equivalent today, 2017, of the beautiful Babylonian garment, the 200 shekels of silver, a wedge of gold? I asked a few people. Some people say it is your 110th piece of your Gucci bag, your Louis Vuitton bag. For some people, it is your fifth piece of your 80,000 or 100,000 watch. For some people, it is to pursue your career and reach the very top regardless of whatever is in between. You will sacrifice your values, you will compromise just to reach the top. For some, it is just gambling in investments. All kinds of things like lottery, alright? And you find there are a lot of leakages in our lives. And no wonder we are losing and having all these leakages and losing a lot of money. So these are all the modern forms. And we ask ourselves, what are the lessons? The first lesson we learn is that God's promises are conditional on our obedience. God's promises are conditional on our obedience. Even for our salvation, Romans 10, 9 and 10. How are we saved? He says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts, we must first believe in our hearts that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that the penalty for sin is death. He took our penalty. And then with our mouth, we acknowledge and receive Him as our Savior, as our Lord. Verse 10, with the heart we believe unto righteousness, we have right standing with God, and with our mouths, we declare Jesus is Lord. Same thing, Joshua 1:8. We want to be prosperous and successful in life. But what is the condition? The condition is that we must meditate on the Word of God day and night. Continuously. Constantly having the words of God. And thank God today you have the written Word of God, the printed Word of God, we have the audio Word of God. You can listen to audio, the audio Bible. Right? And we also have scriptures in song. You are my song in the night. Alright, there are several scriptures in that song. The storm is out there, but the storm is not in me. One of the principles there is Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that He is God. Be still. And the other one is about the peace of God that guards our hearts. So when we observe to do, when we apply the Word of God, then we make our way prosperous. Then we will have good success. There are all kinds of success in the world. But God wants to give us good success. What is good success? Good success means that all the engines in our lives kick in. You don't have good success, for example, you make a lot of money, but you don't even have the health, nor the time, nor the appetite to enjoy it. Good success means you have the means to buy, let's say, good cats, alright? They call it cats. And then you have the time, you have the energy and the appetite, and you enjoy it. That is good success. Good success means you are doing well in the job and your career, you have a strong and thriving marriage, you've got children who loves you and you love your children, you have everybody who's happy. That is good success. Good success means all engines firing, everything in your life falling in place and in alignment. That's what the Bible says. You will not make your way prosperous, you will have good success. God has given to us these two things among His sovereignty. Many things in His sovereignty. Remember these two things. Number one, a free will. Number two, He has placed laws and principles of life. We will reap what we sow, whether it's for good or for evil. Partial obedience is not obedience. Incomplete obedience is not obedience, as we have learned from this episode in Joshua chapter 7. And this happened to the Israelites. In 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 33 and 41. Verse 33, they feared the Lord, yet they served their own gods. On the one hand, they want God. And yet, on the other hand, they served their own gods according to the rituals of the nations from among whom they were carried away. From whom they were being squeezed into the mold of the world. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Following the thinking patterns of the world. Verse 41, so these nations feared the Lord, yet they served their calf images. We cannot love God and mammon. Jesus said that very clearly. We cannot love God and have the love of money. We need money. We need to work, earn, and have as much sources of income as possible and do well. But we cannot worship money. Alright, very clear. Similarly, we cannot have idols in our lives. What is an idol? An idol is anyone, any activity, any place that takes the place of God in our lives. Otherwise, we have a form of godliness. We can come to church, we can attend a cell group, a form of godliness, but no power. 1 Timothy 4 tells us that. Because God wants us to have a thriving relationship with Him. I was very glad last week when we did a call to pray. 99% of us will be praying. When you come to BBTC, alright, it's going to be so uncomfortable to just be a spectator. Because here we are talking and focusing on making disciples. A disciple is a learner and follower of Jesus Christ. And therefore, everything that we hear, we must apply so that it leads to life change. Positive life change. Good success. Positive life change. Transformation of our lives. And therefore, it's not for the spectator. We are not here to entertain. We are not here to humor you, all right? And to sing good songs, great music, song in the night, night in the song, all right? What is good, okay? It was BT, we can even dance to it. But if you come and go and nothing has changed, you're not edified, you're not encouraged, you're not strengthened in your faith, you just attended a concert. And it's not what we want you to do. It's not what this is all about. This is church, where the presence of God is. And the partial obedience will lead the person to be double-minded. James 1 verse 8. If you are double-minded, you will be unstable in all your ways. We're talking about being double-minded. On the one hand, believe in God. On the other hand, you believe in your idols. Whether it's your feng shui, or the temple, or your guru, or your boss, or some other godfather or godmother in your life. That is being double-minded. And it will lead to being unstable in all your ways. I mean, all the aspects of your life. Okay? The second lesson we learn is that there are physical objects and practices that are spiritually defiled and unclean. Which is why I started the service by asking you the question, how many of you were first-time believers? Because for many of us, as first-time believers, and from the experiences from RTF, and the many deliverers, and being a believer for the last 50 years, most of us comes from backgrounds that are occultic, that are idol worshippers, and we must deal with that. Okay, we must deal with them. Leviticus 10, 10 and 11 says that we may distinguish between the holy and the unholy, between the unclean and the clean, and that we may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken, that as pastors we must teach the congregation. First we apply it to ourselves, and then we must teach the people of God the difference between what is clean and what is unclean. What is holy and what is common. The unclean things will separate us from God. The unclean things will block the grace of God from coming into your life. The unclean thing will prevent the power of God from flowing to you. The unclean thing will hold and tie the hands of God. He cannot protect you. Because you have defiled yourself with the unclean thing. So there are individual consequences to your life personally. There are corporate consequences. Consequences in your marriage. Consequences in your family. Consequences in the church. In your cell groups. In your classes. In fact, we were just talking to among some of the pastors and elders. There was a particular cell cluster where we noticed there was not just one marriage that was in trouble. There were several. All right. This is some years ago. And then we noticed of late there is another cluster where, oops, there were two. And now three. And which is where it draws our attention. We need to do something about it. Is there an Achan in the camp? One of my worries in the church for the last, since 1986, when the first church first started, especially in the worship team, alright, is there an Achan in the worship team? And we've gone through so many years, from 1986 now to today, 2017. And there were. Sad to tell you that there was a worship leader who's no longer with us. So to tell you that there was a very talented musician that's no longer with us. And where are they? I really have no idea. I mean, met from time to time, a few years apart. But if their lives are not reconnected back to God, it's going to go downhill, downhill, downhill. When you're unplugged from the body life, you're going to go downhill, downhill, downhill. There are consequences. The third lesson is that we must deal ruthlessly to get rid of the unclean things in our life. And that's as you watch the physical hygiene video, you don't want bacteria germs. I know of people where their gums were weak. And when bacteria affects their gums, it is a terrible thing. It's going to be painful, all right? And as you grow older, you're going to spend a lot of money with this dentist specialist. You're going to spend hundreds, if not thousands of dollars, just to clean out your gums. I know at least 2% who are affected with that. So hygiene is very important. How come the bacteria have access to that area, whether it's in the area of the gums or in another area of the body? And of course, bad cells will lead to cancer and so forth in our lives. Obedience to God will restore fellowship with God and reinstate His cleansing, His protection, and His purpose for us. I got many stories to share with you, but just want to read to you just three or four of someone who wrote to me about what they did in house cleansing. And you find that the devil never fights fair. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And in many of these lives, the consequences is mental depression, mental illness. The first case, I ministered to one mental case this person wrote to me. 21-year-old young girl who has schizophrenia. When we went to her house, we could sense very clear demonic oppression. To cut the long story short, we found out that the root of the problem was that this lady loved to collect stones. She would pick up stones from the roadside to bring home, and over time she accumulated a fair number of stones. And some of these stones were used for worship. They used to dedicate to whatever altars that people built along and road junctions and so forth. And it was this entry point into her home, into her room, that affected her. Literally opening a doorway for an unclean spirit to torment her brain. Another case, 2 years back, we did house cleansing with a young man. Happy marriage. But he just went through divorce. And the mom was sharing with these two ministry givers that the marriage was good. But they started to have problems ever since he purchased a piece of painting. He bought for a few $1,000s from Thailand. And he ended up divorcing his wife and now struggling financially selling his condominium. And the moment they saw the painting, it was clearly demonic. And he spoke to the young man. To cut the long story short, but he's already divorced. He already sold his condo, trying to put pieces in his life together. The third case, we ministered to one serious OCD case, obsessive compulsive behavior. And we saw that this man walked very funny. He walked like a monkey. Alright? Again, to cut the long story short, he was dedicated to the monkey god when he was a little infant. And this has affected him. And then subsequently, he became mentally ill. And this mental illness was triggered and worsened when he was bullied in the army. But the whole roots tie up to the day he was dedicated to this monkey god. The fourth case is this family where the elder daughter had mental illness and she was suicidal thoughts. The younger sister had nightmares. The mother herself is a goddess of mercy worshipper. Alright. They had everything cleaned out of the house except that the mother was so fearful, you know, and must keep this final idol. But in the end, the oppression and the nightmares and all the things happening to her daughters, she finally relented and gave up and they removed this final idol that it was in the house. House cleansing and house blessing that we do. Alright. So there are lessons. This is serious. Okay. Now before I go into the crux of the message and the checklist, which is in your newsletter, alright, I want to mention two things. The first thing I want to mention is about superstition. I want us to be very clear what this is all about. Superstition is when we place faith in a person or a place or a thing other than our God Most High, other than the Word of God. Superstition will lead to irrational beliefs and practices. And most of the time, superstition breeds and instills fear. And God is not in it. Remember, the devil, the Bible says we are not ignorant of his schemes in 2 Corinthians 2:11 and 2 Corinthians 11:14. He disguised himself as an angel of light. So I receive all kinds of people who tell me about superstition. Actually, I'm ignorant of it. Especially among the Babas and Nonias, alright? They say that do not touch a black cat. I don't know what's the consequence of that. Do not walk underneath a ladder. And they say that if you are an expectant mom, never sew, never paint, never go to the zoo. What is the rationale? This superstition, right? She says that if you sew, your child will be born with a cleft lip. If you paint, your child will grow with a birthmark on the buttocks. And if you go to the zoo, Your child may just grow up looking like gorilla. Alright. Now, I mean, we laugh at it and so forth, but this is superstition. Okay? So we don't want to be superstitious people. We want to have our lives anchored in the Lord and not be fearful. Okay? Now, alternative medicine. I just want to mention a few words about this. We must ask ourselves the question, what is the underlying practice? Is it dependent on a source of power and energy that is not natural? If it is natural, for example, chiapo, alright, you take ginger, you take ginseng, you take cordyceps, fine, it's natural. Okay? And even this lady wrote, for example, for cancer treatment, some of the oncologists recommend those undergoing breast cancer to take and drink broccoli juice. Those with ovarian cancer to drink papaya leaf juice. So all these are good for us. All these are legitimate. But if it is a practice where the practitioner, you know, he's worshipping an idol, a particular god, a particular spirit, like Reiki meditation, you know, that's demonic. Alright? Like certain forms of martial arts, which we're going to talk about and so forth. Okay? Now, everybody read Isaiah 52, 11 and 12. 1, 2, read. Depart. Very clear. The Lord wants to bless us. The Lord wants to protect us. But we must not have anything unclean. Alright? Do not touch anything unclean. Go out from the midst of her. Be clean. You who bear the vessels of the Lord. Referring to the priests. And we are the priests. We are a royal priesthood. A chosen generation. We who bear the vessels of the Lord. We bear, in fact, we carry the presence of the Holy Spirit. And then, verse 12 is protection. You shall not go out with haste. That means we don't gabra, we don't panic. Alright? We shall not go out with haste, nor by flight. We do not panic at every bad news. Why? The Lord will go before us. And the God of Israel will be our rear guard. To be our rear guard means He watch over our blind spots. For those of us who drive, 12 o'clock is in front. Our blind spots is 4 o'clock and 8 o'clock. God will watch our backs. Our blind spots. So there is a checklist, alright? If you can refer now to your newsletter, alright, the checklist, okay? Okay, I'm so glad you all have your newsletter, you're taking down notes. Because yesterday at the Saturday service, I said refer to your checklist, then they take it out. But thank God for first service and second service, you're used to it, alright? Hope you're taking notes and over a year, you'll file it away. 2016, 2017, alright? And then apply. The first checklist is, regarding your relationship with God. First question, do you have difficulty to read the Bible? Or do you feel sleepy? If you try to read the Bible after a heavy lunch, understandable, that is natural. But if most of the time, whenever you come to reading the Bible, you feel sleepy and you begin to yawn, you are in serious trouble. Something is not right. And we have cases of people like that. We get somebody, can you read the Bible? Can you read this verse? And the guy just can't read. He just can't focus. He will yawn and so forth. These are symptoms of some uncleanness in your life. Okay? Pay attention to that. Do you have difficulty worshipping the Lord, connecting with God? You're unable to connect with God. You're easily distracted. When we were singing songs in the night, your mind was thinking of some fishing trip in a storm. You were caught in a storm. Your mind wandered elsewhere. Sometimes it happens, that's fine, alright, we're all natural, but if most of the time you cannot connect with God, something is wrong. Do you find difficulty to pray? Thank God, 99% of you prayed, alright? I noticed the 1% of you, I noticed one or two couples just folded your arms and you look straight ahead. Don't refer to us, don't talk about us. I'm not praying my wife, I'm not praying my husband. Why? This is a church. As believers, we are disciples, alright? Disciples connect with God, we connect with one another. Alright? This should be very natural outcome and flow of our spirituality. Okay. Everybody read Leviticus 26, the top box, alright? Ready? 1, 2, read. I... Okay. All the brothers read the message, Leviticus 19:31. 1, 2, read. Do not. And all the sisters, the NKJ, 1, 2, read. Do Okay, so I'm going to deal with the rest of the checklist primarily in the occult area. Alright, in the occult area. First one, were you ever dedicated or adopted by God? When you were young, did your mother, your father, your grandmother give you to the gods? Okay? And you find that some of us say, I don't know, I was so young, alright? And some of us, we find that during the RTF ministry, during the SSH, the Lord gave you a picture and you gave you a scene in which you were given to the particular gods. Kwikia, what is kwikia? Kwikia are fetuses put in a bottle, and this is very prevalent in Thailand, alright, from all the abortions. Because there is a demonic spirit, alright, instead of a guardian angel, there's a demonic spirit guide that attaches to this dead fetus, alright, and the person brings it home and worship this, okay, as a demonic spirit guide for protection so forth. Alright, if you ever, it is put a tick, alright, we're gonna go through the checklist together, okay? Temple visits. Have you ever visited a temple? You go on a holiday, alright, Korea, Taiwan, alright. If you just walk past, a couple came to me this morning after first day. You walk past, you go with the group, that's fine. But you go and check out every idol. This one is an opium god, this one a monkey god, this one is, you know, alright, and you have interest. The Bible says very clearly, do not even mention the names of their gods. Okay? 7 month festival is soon. This is the Hungry Ghost Festival. Where you participated because of your company, your business, you got to give donation, and then there you were enjoying the Ker Thai, alright? All this Hokkien song and this band, and not only that, you participated in the whatever rituals, the 7 month festival. Have you consulted mediums? I remember as a little boy, my mom brought me to this house temple. Those days in Joo Chiat Road, this big kampong meandering through all the paths, house temple, and this guy will get into a trance, okay? And then he'll do a chop on my back on my t-shirt, alright? Burn the yellow hoo paper, drink it from it. Consulting mediums. Where your mom, your grandma, a relative have brought you. Feng Shui, German tea. This has all its modern forms today. In the past, it was more elaborate. Today, modern form, very high tech. There was a Feng Shui master flown from Hong Kong to one of the banks in Singapore. Stayed in Ritz-Carlton 6-star hotel. I mentioned this before. Walk in and out, he was a special security pass. Place gold, artificial gold ingots underneath the dealing desk. Alright, that year that Treasury lost big time. Feng Shui, a dependency on wind, water, alright? The people ask you, do you believe in Feng Shui? Better say you believe. But at the next sentence, you believe in the creator of Feng Shui. The creator of the winds and the waters. Yoga. The root of yoga is the serpent spirit, the Kundalini spirit. And again, today in modern form, remember the devil is like an angel of light. It packaged in different forms, in gyms and exercises, in this Pilates and the Pilates, alright? There's a lot of mixture in there. And if you're clear about that, certain postures, certain movements are linked with the serpent spirit. Martial arts, ESP, mind control, astral travel, vows, never, never, never make a vow. Ecclesiastes 5 tells us that. We know stories why their prayers were not answered, because when they were trying and struggling with the university exams, they vowed to God, Lord, if you help me pass with an upper honors, I will serve you for the rest of my life. After that, what happened? Backslide. Oh Lord, I give my child to you if you will help me to be conceived, alright, to be a mother. Oh Lord, if my parents come to know you as Lord and Savior, if they are saved, I will give you $50,000 or whatever. You vowed, but you have not fulfilled your vow. The vows that are not fulfilled are legal cases against you by the devil, the adversary, in the courts of heaven. And which is why God cannot answer your prayer. There are a blockage. Vows. Ancestral worship. I remember participating in this when I was young. Every year, Qingming, we'll go to the graveyards, clean them up, make the offerings and so forth as a little boy. Temple healing, funeral rites. Funeral rites, this is a very, depending on the level of the funeral rites. I'm aware of someone who recently in ministry recalled, alright, they were believers, they did not participate, but what happened was when the siblings went round the coffin and with the monks, simultaneously, they're pronouncing a curse on her and her husband. And this manifested years later in sickness, in financial problems, in relationships. Alright? Curses that are placed. Funeral rites. Some people have come to me when they participated. What do you do? After I'm going to show you the steps to have ourselves clean up. Okay? Very simple. Funeral rites where we are innocent, we've got no choice. Fortune telling. Let me see your palm. The guy tells the girl, all right, actually she wants to hold her hands. But okay, that's for fun. But I'm talking about a serious fortune telling. People flying up to KL to see a particular fortune teller. Wow, he's so accurate and so forth. Why? Because they have demon spirit guides. They'll tell you some aspects of truth. Demon spirit guide, fortune telling, channeling, shunts, sorcery, chanting. God, what you are chanting? The devil is always a liar, a deceiver, a counterfeit. God has given us tongues. Our English tongue, our Mandarin tongue, our Hokkien tongue, our prayer tongues to give thanks, to give praise and so forth. Alright? But the devil, and there's also chanting, especially in the Roman Catholic tradition. For example, our founding prime minister. Thank God in his last few years, he was chanting Maranatha, Maranatha, which means even so, come Lord Jesus, come Lord Jesus. That is fine. But the devil has his counterfeit too. You find that in a lot of these practices, they are chanting, and sometimes you do not even know what you're chanting. I wanted to repeat them here, and this is where you are invoking. That's it. In the Maranatha, you're asking the Lord to come. In the other chanting, you're invoking demonic spirits to come. Okay? Very clear. Whether it's in Hinduism, in Buddhism, or in the mission. Ujjabot. At one stage, it was very popular. That means you don't even have to move. With your mind, you just boom, the piece on the table will move. Or the tea leaves will move. Or certain things on the table will move, alright? These are demon spirit guides. Spells. Spells are curses people place on you. But remember Proverbs 26 verse 2. A spell, a curse for the believer where there is no landing ground, it will not land on you. Alright? We are always protected where we are under the blood of Christ. Remember that. Okay? A curse without cause will never land. And this is where, when people want to cast spells on you, and recently we hear that some people, alright, in a certain community, as they did so, they cast spells on a certain church, they prayed against a certain church, they prayed against a certain ministry that has since closed down. Alright? And when this was sort of mentioned to me, I said they better know what they are doing. Alright? They are treading very dangerous grounds. Because a curse, a spell that is cast against any of our pastors or elders, alright, you're not going to find ground here. At this stage and milestone of our spiritual life of this church, alright? It's gonna turn around and bounce back and it's gonna whack whoever tried to do that in a very strong way. No sorcery formed against Jacob will ever succeed. You know why? The Aaronic blessing, Aaronic Aaron, the high priest Aaron, Numbers 6, 24 to 26, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance and be gracious to you. The people of Israel, and the Lord says, I place my name on the blessing on my people. The people of God, Israel, they are blessed. Numbers chapter 6. But when it came to Numbers 22, 23, 24, what happened? King Balak tried to hire the prophet Balaam to curse the children of Israel. Impossible. Why? Because the people of God has been blessed in Numbers chapter 6. No curse, no sorcery against Jacob or Israel can ever prevail. And then Balak said, no, go to the other mountain, go to the mountain of Pisgah. So turn this direction, turn this angle, turn this perspective. Try. Impossible. So this is our assurance as people of God. Now we are in the better new covenant. We are under the blood. No curse can ever alight us. Unless we give the devil permission. Which is why we're talking about this subject and the next 2 weekends. Divination, Kuan Yin, the idol god. You probably heard about this sea god that has been brought into Singapore coming in business class or first class, I can't remember. This is the sea god that gives wealth and blessing to the fishermen, to the traders at sea. And in Singapore, in Phillip Street, there's a temple because it's near the Singapore River. Alright, where there's import and export, ships come in and out, cargoes are loaded in and out, there were warehouses along Singapore River. That's why there was a small temple there, very small, but with this arrival of this particular god, alright, I heard a few thousand were thronged into it, and then after they went to transfer to another place. Interest is satanic music, hard rock, idol worship, hoo paper, palm reading, horoscopes, occult computer games, Satan worship, fantasy, transcendental meditation, religious objects, bak kwan. This is not your sweet meat, huh? This is the octagonal shaped thing which you place in my pakwa, I know pak eight lah, yeah. Yeah. In my home where I grew up, this was placed on top of the window, alright, by my grandfather, okay, and so forth. Why? They want to ward off the demonic spirits. Alright, okay, that's Pakwa, that's Bakwa, okay, understand? That's deliberate, okay. Paying attention, very good. Tarot cards, okay? Everybody read Isaiah 47:13. 1, 2, read. You. Okay? And Deuteronomy 7:25-26. 1, 2, read. I've given you various scriptures, and this language is very strong. For those of you who grew up and studied in the West and so forth, similar in the lines of masonry, all right? The Masons, same thing, all right? So they are parallel in the West as well. The last part of the verse, you shall utterly detest it. Utterly detest it. That means with all your strength and will and mind and soul, utterly detest it and utterly abhor it. It is an accursed thing. I was sharing this morning, way back in the late 80s, early 90s, I can't remember, together with Paul and Ivy, they were there here in the first service. Remember, there was a couple, they came to know the Lord, they have a HDB flat, a three-room flat near your Bak Chor Mee there, alright, the police station in Bedok here. Small HDB flat, three-room. They spent $80,000 to $90,000 buying idols, charms, amulets, talismans. From India, the elephant god, to Lantau Island, the snake god, to Taiwan, to Korea. And when we went to the house, alright, the living room, you step into full of idols, full of all these things. So they came to know the Lord, and they wanted to destroy all of them. They wanted to do house cleansing. And he was very fearful. He said, y'all can or not, church? These are very powerful gods. We said, can. And then, of course, with Ivy and Paul, we said, can. Ivy, you know, Cheong, alright. We said, let's go. So we went. I mean, to cut the long story short, we went, we put all, we prayed first and so on. We put all the things into, I think, three or four big black bean bags, and we brought them to church at the cross, at the junction near the playground. This church, the corner at the junction of the playground. Everything that we can burn, we burn. And everything that we can destroy, we take a hammer, we actually have a hammer, I ask Paul to bring it, and we smash it. And the rest, we chuck it to the dustbin in the container right at the back here, where immediately, you know, where from the market threw all the innards and all, definitely go to incinerator and to be burned. We make sure that nobody can pick it up. But in it, there were jewelry, there were diamonds, there was emerald, there was jade, and so forth. Can we take it and send it to the pawn shop, and maybe we can recover 10, 15,000? Everything goes. The word of God is very clear. You shall not covet the silver or gold that is on them. Remember Achan, that wedge of gold and the silver. Why? Because it has become accursed. That item has become accursed. Of course, modern day, say, oh, we can pray over them, bless over them, and it becomes clean again. No. Alright? Anything that has been dedicated, we destroy and remove. Okay, so two things. I want you to look at the checklist, and I'm going to walk you through, and we're going to pray this together. Okay, so I will give you 1 minute now in silence. Go through the checklist and tick those areas that you have participated or involved with or have in possession. All right, so go through the checklist and tick first. Okay, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk you through this. And what I'm walking you through is nothing new. You have learned it before, alright? But for those of you who need to take notes, take down James 4, verse 6 to 10. James 4, verse 6 to 10. And it has a parallel in 1 Peter 5, verse 5 to 9. Take down 1 Peter 5, verse 5 to 9, in which these 5, 6 steps are derived from. The James 4 passage and the 1 Peter 5 passage. Okay, I want you to understand the principles, because once you understand the principles, you can pray in your own words. But this morning, I did not do so with the first congregation, and people came to me, you should have led us in a prayer, you know, we do not know. I said, alright, if I give you a fish, you eat it for a day, right? If I teach you how to fish, you learn how to fish. That's my aim, alright, to teach you how to fish, get the principles. Okay? You tick already? Alright. The first thing you do is confess your sins of participating and owning the items. This is 1 John 1:9. Write down 1 John 1:9. So right now, what you do is, Lord, I confess my sins and ask for your forgiveness. Alright? Alright, whatever you think, for participating in a funeral rite. You go down the list. For consulting mediums. For believing in the horoscopes. For whatever it is. Just say, Lord, I confess my sins. And what are the sins you're confessing? Tell God, the name those items. And Lord, I ask for your forgiveness. Do that now. Over every item that you take. It always begins with confession, repentance. Now, at this stage, I want to say that this list is not exhaustive. I went through the RTF list, that it has even more things in it. And I want to encourage some of you, if after today's session, you find that there are other things you need to deal with, which you cannot deal with now because we are in a service, right? Come and see any of the pastors. Sign up for RTF, which is going to be announced next week. RTF will begin end of August, and the ministry will be in early, by mid-September. Okay? We're going to announce it next week. We have RTF every quarter, don't miss it. But if your case is urgent, and some people came to me after the first service, the Saturday service, come and see any of the pastors and leaders. Okay? Otherwise, you wait for the RTF session. So the first thing you do is confess your sins. Second thing you do now, he says, Lord, I take the precious blood of Jesus. Apply the blood of Christ to cleanse you from the defilement. Because of your participation, you are defiled. I take the blood of Christ to cleanse myself from the defilement. And I take the blood of Christ to cover the ground. To close the ground that has been given to the evil one. Because of all these items that you have taken. So the first principle is asking for forgiveness. The second principle is asking for cleansing. Related to the third principle, asking for covering. Okay? Forgiveness, cleansing, covering. Write that down. I want you to be very clear about this. Forgiveness, and then cleansing, covering, all by the blood of Jesus. It may have happened 25 years ago, 30 years ago, 8 years ago. If you've never done this, you must do this. I have to go through this myself again and again. No fear, alright? The Lord is here. You're in good territory. Take your time. Forgiveness, cleansing, covering. Okay. The next thing you do, the fourth thing you do, get rid of these items that is in your possession. So list them down. If you remember, oh yeah, at home you kept some pornographic material. Oh yeah, at home there was this wind chime which was carved out by this craftsman in Bali. Or at home there is this painting. Or at home there is this religious book. All right, this so-called holy book that you bought when you went to India. So whether it's a book, a wind chime, or there was this hoo, alright, you pick it up, you fold it, it's so small, you put it in a red ang pao, and you put it underneath your bed. You remember you did it 10 years ago, 5 years ago. Something underneath the drawer, something under the secret compartment of your wardrobe. Ask the Lord to reveal to you whatever is in your room, in your house, in your wardrobe, in your cupboards. Make a note. Go back home, take them all together, alright? I got various people coming to me after yesterday's survey and this morning, same thing. Alright? Now, in this stage, I don't want you to be superstitious. One lady came to me, she bought this, I can't remember what she said. It is It's a beautiful crafted dish. She paid a lot of money for it, alright? A few thousand, alright? And I say, if it is, it's okay lah. But they say down there for good luck. I mean, that's what they say, they advertise, you know? But if it's nothing, it's nothing, alright? But if it bothers you and you think that there's something, then get rid of it. You know what I mean? I don't want you to be, don't look for a snake underneath every drawer. Don't look for a demon under every drawer and cabinet. You know what I mean or not? Alright? That's like a flower pot. Dragon pot. Oh, dragon means devil. Rubbish. Alright? Wisdom, I must mention this, which I didn't forgot to mention. There is a range of influence and effects. A range of influence and effects on different people. And the range of influence and effects is a function of a few things. Number one, your spiritual strength. Number two, your mental strength. Number three, your emotional strength. For example, let me just mention Pokemon. On the one end, it's completely a game. On the other end, I know of young boys, teenagers, who were demonized. Why were they demonized? Because they were very vulnerable, given their background and their family and so forth. And they were so obsessed and sucked into it. Alright, they were demonized. They need to be prayed over and delivered. But on this other end, I know of families who prayed, who played together. Go from this Katong Park to Labrador Park to whatever park, and they have a good time of family bonding. Alright? It's just a game. You know what I mean? So, don't end into... That's why I do not prescribe to you do or don't do. Yes or no, right or wrong. God has given you the Word and the Holy Spirit. It's a function of your spiritual strength, your mental strength. If you got a weak mind, you watch a movie, you get nightmares already. You know what I mean or not? Alright? So there's a range of influence and effects. Very important, build your spiritual strength, your mental strength, your emotional strength. Alright? For some of us, we better find out what on earth it's all about. Okay? And not jump into superstition, alright? And say that it's all demonic, or on the other hand, it's all natural. The truth is in the spectrum. Wisdom. Wisdom is the principal key. Okay? Fourthly, next, submit to Jesus as Lord. As in the War Room movie, resist, submit to God, resist the devil. Alright? So following that, we resist the devil. Now, submit to Jesus as Lord means this: Lord Jesus, I commit my life to you. I commit my finances to you. That was problematic. I submit my marriage to you, my daughter to you, my son to you, my work to you, my boss, my colleague, whatever the issue. Alright? Jesus, you are Lord of my spirit, soul and body. Jesus, you are Lord of my coming in and going out. Everything. So once you submit to Jesus as Lord, you submit to God, you resist the devil. How do you resist the devil? Resisting the devil, as you have learned, is not prayer. Alright? It's 2-3 statements to get the devil out. So, you pray or you rebuke somewhere along this line. You unclean spirit, get out of my life now. You have no more hold over me. You unclean spirit, or you evil spirit, because I visited the temple, because I consulted the medium, because I touched horoscopes, alright, because I drank who water, and so forth. You unclean spirit associated with all these things that you have picked, get out of my life now, in Jesus' name. You have no hold over me. I have been forgiven, I have been cleansed, and you have no more doorway, no more ground, no more foothold in my life, because it is covered by the blood of Jesus. Huh? Remember what we learned? Forgiveness, cleansing, covering. So submit to God, resist the devil, go in Jesus' name. Alright, you have no more hold over me. Okay? After that, what do? You draw near to God. The 3 spiritual disciplines. You draw near to God in prayer. Lord, I thank you. You're my Savior, my Redeemer, my friend. You stand upon His promises, the Word of God. Secondly, you praise God. When you go through the storm, the one we just sang just now, the storm is out there, the storm is not in you, alright? The kind of thing. You are my peace. You give thanks, you give praise, and you worship. Then after that, do not be double-minded. Actually, my colleague, he actually struck lottery, you know. He went to the feng shui man, you know, da-da-da. Remember, it is God who gives you power to get wealth. Deuteronomy 8:18, not the feng shui man. It's always the counterfeit, alright? And finally, live our lives in total obedience and total dependency on God. All these steps is based on James 4 and 1 Peter 5. Okay? I don't want you to get stuck on a formula. I want you to be clear on the principles. Everybody got it? Alright? Okay? 15 seconds more. If not, this is available on the website. Okay? The messages will be up by Thursday morning. Okay? Okay, this last slide. What we've been talking about, we say that we need to come out and touch nothing unclean, be separate. Everybody read Deuteronomy 23:14. Another promise again. One, two, read. Four. Very clear. God walks in the midst of our camp. Israel, they were living in tents in the camp. What is our camp today? Your HDB flat. What is your camp today? Your place of work, your desk where you work. Where is your camp today? The places that you go. On the bus, on the MRT train, to the market. Alright, and so forth. That's your camp. God walks in your camp always to protect you, to deliver you. God walks in the camp always to give your enemies over to you. That means we are always overcomers. Therefore, what is the condition? What is the obedience? Therefore, your camp shall be holy. Holy means set apart, dedicated to God. Lord, I commit my household to you. If you never committed your house to God, commit it to God. We're going to talk about that next week, I think. Alright? That He may not see anything unclean and turn away from you. Because if there's anything unclean in our lives, our homes, our workplaces, the evil one has a legal ground to come against us. Okay? So the promises are very clear. No fear. Alright? Just know the Lord, the fear of the Lord, and we shall walk in victory. Amen? Amen? Well, let's stand and worship the Lord. Yes. Let's declare. Let's declare with one voice.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And light of love, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace.
Let's raise our voices. Let's declare.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace.
All the sisters. Father, we stand here in your holy presence and thank you for your love for us. We thank you, Jesus, when you died on the cross and when you shed your blood, you canceled every accusation of the devil. You canceled every written code written against us. You demolish every argument. You cast out every high thing that blocks our coming to know you and living the life that is more and more abundantly. And for that, Lord, we give you thanks. For that, Lord, we are grateful and we give you praise. And we declare, as you have sung, that our chains are gone. That as we know the truth, we shall know the truth and be set free. And as we have the Spirit of living God living in us, where the Spirit of the Lord is, we shall walk in freedom. And we give you thanks and praise. Help us day by day now to walk with clean hands and a pure heart. Lord, give us the grace to be spiritually clean all the time. As we worship you now, help us, O Lord, in Jesus' name.
We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. Oh, Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil.
Generation, a revived generation of your sons and daughters who seek your face, who walk daily, continually washed by the blood of the Lamb, daily, continually with clean hands and a pure heart. And we can say, like what the Lord said, that the devil has got no place in him, the devil has got no ground in us. Help us to arise to the next milestone in our spiritual journey, to be men and woman of God, bold and courageous for the Lord, priests and kings of the Most High God. Lord, would you confirm your word through each one of us, your servants? Lord, would you perform your counsel through each one of us, your messengers? As you bring lives across our path, help us to speak your very oracles that will bring salvation, deliverance, healing, sight to the spiritually blind, to release the oppressed and set free those who are in bondage. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. Seal, Lord, this truth, this message deep into our spirit, man. And help us to arise in a new season with wings like eagles. But we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just two quick announcements. For some of you, I want to encourage you. All right, there's a lot more to go in depth. All right, and that's through the RTF ministry. Would you sign up for that? All right. Otherwise, have a wonderful weekend. Yes, give him praise. Yes.